I'm Jenny Nevinson, but you can call me Penny Flymie. And you are listening to the Minder Podcast.
Welcome to episode 38 of the Minder podcast in association with Minder.org. I am your host, Paul Stenning. In this episode, we will feature the top 10 birds of Minder. Yes, I received several emails which thank me for avoiding being politically correct in the coverage of Whose Wife Is It Anyway? More on that later. So this one will also probably please most of you who are a little fed up of being told what you can and can't say. According to the statistics, I have a 3% female audience as well, which surprises me. So given there are some birds amongst you, I trust you, nor your male counterparts, will not be offended by terms such as bristles, crumpet, bint, or my favourite, bird bandit. I'm not going to really use those terms, but you know where I'm coming from. We will look at the very best crumpet appearing on the show in the form of a top 10, and also talk about a few honourable mentions, as well as a few ladies who perhaps could and should have appeared on the show. I'm also going to cover a little of everything to bring things up to date for the podcast. We start with some sad news which you may or may not know. There are a few actors who appeared in Minder who recently passed away. Firstly, I wanted to mention Charles Kay, who appeared in A Star Is Gone, which, of course, we have referenced recently. Very heavily, given that we spoke to none other than Zack Zola. Well, Charles Kay was in that episode, and he was much more of a classically trained actor, but he did appear in that very episode as John Sutton, and he was the older guy in the recording studio. Christopher Benjamin, who played the angry Mr. Rushmer in The Carlot Baggers, which was episode 5 of series 4, also passed away. He certainly had a good innings, as they say. He was 90 years old and had almost 200 film and television credits to his name, still recording for radio at the age of 86. Just 5 days after he passed away, so too did Diane Langton, who I had tried to interview without success. I didn't know she was suffering from kidney disease, and it was a surprise to see she was actually 80 years old. Diane did not have that many acting credits, but many of her parts on television especially were very memorable, and she had a high number of theatre appearances. In Minder, she played Rita in the 13th episode of Series 3, In. I know this is a favourite for many of you. Lastly, on the negative news, Julian Holloway passed away on February 16th this year at the age of 80. He was a very distinguished actor, but I will always remember him for playing Matthews in 1982's You Need Hands, alongside the legendary Mike Read. Rest in peace, Julian Holloway, Diane Langton, Christopher Benjamin, and Charles Kay. Unfortunately, I also have to add, which happened just before I was about to record, or at least I found out just before recording, that Lee Montague had passed away also. I will cover this a little bit more in depth in a later show. Rest in peace, Lee. Okay, so let's get to some nicer subject matter. It's all about the birds on this episode. There was always a bird on Minder, as Sarah Berger told me, bird of the week. In some cases, of course, we had recurring characters and actresses which gave the show a nice flow. Every now and then, Penny, played by Jenny Nevinson, would turn up, or Diana Malin's character of Debbie. We have covered these ladies in depth previously, as you might know. If not, go back and listen to episodes 4 and 5 for Jenny and 23 for Diana Malin, although, disclosure alert, she does not appear. Minder became synonymous with women who were either easily romanced by Terry, though perhaps romance is stretching it a bit, or who were hard to get. there were less of these, of course. Poor Dennis Waterman having to cozy up to a new bird every week. This was the 80s, with a brief appearance in the 70s, which was even less politically correct, and women were, it has to be said, objectified. As many people I have interviewed about the programme have admitted, Minder could never be made now, and that is just one of the reasons. But as you all know, those with sense and perspective, it was not sexist, or at least not often. Most of the time, in fact, the women were given a very pivotal role in the episode, and were very much included for their brains as well as Bristol's. When Bristol's came into it, there was not too much in the brains department, it has to be said. The more attractive women had the full package, so to speak. So in the following top 10, we will consider everything they brought to the role for the episode or episodes. We're not talking mere objectification, and when we do talk physical attributes, this is more in the form of appreciation than sexism. I can't believe I even have to say that these days. Are we allowed to look at women anymore? Real women, I mean, not those appearing in things you would rather not look at unless you really are perverted. I refer to the average woman in the street. Have you tried recently to chat up a bird who you just see as you go about your daily business? I haven't, as I'm happily married, so I never even look at a woman. And in fact, this is why I'm talking about women on a show from the 80s who are now in their 60s, 70s or 80s. These were, as I said, real women. Their beauty was effortless, and often they were elegant and sophisticated too. Was it the clothes, the way it was filmed, or something else? Their behaviour, perhaps. Just the way that they behaved and the way they carried themselves, so very different from today. But I digress. I am thinking about Terry picking up birds as he goes about his daily duties. Shopping in the supermarket? 10 minutes later he's having a meal with Jam Francis. Could that happen today? I believe it was Bee Jams, so no. But you know what I mean. What would the Jam Francis of today be doing? Firstly, she might not look so elegant and classy. She would probably be wearing a onesie. Or she wouldn't give the geezer a second look, as she would be too busy with looking at her phone as she walked zombified around the superstore that had her under facial surveillance. Or she would just not be able to glance at a fella should she be subjected to some form of Orwellian hate crime that would render her a sex pest. And don't get me started on the bloke. Anyway, luckily we are talking about happier times before the world went to hell, so let's begin. The list is based on their actual appearance or appearances in Minder and not their general appeal. For instance, Wanda Ventham is an extremely delectable lady and would be in my top 10 of overall beauties, but in Minder she plays a far less appealing old tart who eats asparagus in the most disturbing way, so she doesn't even make the honourable mentions list. Others might have been higher up the list, or lower depending. So we are only thinking of them in terms of their actual Minder airtime. Number 10, Angela Brown. In 1980, Angela Brown played Lady Margaret Thompson in Caught in the Act Fact. This was a very unusual episode and kept the viewer guessing right to the end as to what exactly had happened and how everything was going to turn out. It's a sad ending in both the fact that Arthur doesn't give Terry enough help when he really needs it, and also the fact that we never see what happens to Lady Margaret. You might be intrigued to know that this episode, written by the ever-inspired by real-life events Tony Hoare, was inspired by a real-life person. More about this in a future episode, where I will be going into this episode in depth. It is a fascinating background. Angela Brown was well cast as the fascinating Lady Margaret. She had a mystique and allure which was not typical of the average Minder bird. There was no chance, or so we presume, of Terry and her ever sleeping together. He had too much respect, and she was most certainly not that type of woman. But she is, as Terry says, a terrific bird. Personally, I need to do much more research into Angela's other television roles, as I've not seen her in too many other things, but I do recall her from The Prisoner and Danger Man. One short biography I read captures her intrigue well. It says, by the early 70s, she had eased into character roles, turning up at auditions in deliberately unglamorous attire in order to snare more interesting assignments. This was no doubt her intention, in order to gain the role of Lady Margaret, as she managed to look several years older than her then age of 42.
Popping down a bank, Terry?
Keeping you busy, I see.
No, not really. I volunteered.
Oh,
That's what I like to see, my son. You being conscientious about your work, I'm sure her ladyship appreciates it.
Maggie's all right, Sam.
Maggie? I hope you don't call her that to her face.
That's what she wants me to call her.
Well, that don't seem right.
What are you doing here anyway?
Oh, I just came to check up. Everything's all right, is it?
Yeah, great. Oh, you're right, it's a doddle. She's a terrific bird.
Bird? Terry, ladyships are not birds. That is definitely out of order. Had you doing anything else, has she?
Well, a ladyship?
No, not that. Work.
No, not really, no. I've got to shoot. We're going shopping this afternoon. See you later.
Oh.
Number 9. Hetty Baines. I think Hetty Baines is rather lovely in almost anything, and for being married to Ken Russell, she should be given some kind of award. She is rather delectable, and it is a shame that I did not hear back when trying to interview her for this show. Nevertheless, I have to include her, and you will note this is the first time we've gone out of the box to name a Gary Webster episode. The only other times these have come up is in the telling of the Minder story overall, and when I have interviewed someone who was in one of those episodes, as well as a Terry one, Kevork Malakian, for instance. Hetty played Lorna Nelson in Series 8's The Odds Couple. I find this one of the better Gary Webster episodes. We also have a reappearance of Lee Montague, funnily enough, who plays Hetty's husband and plays his friendship with Arthur very well. Most ironic, given he almost played that character himself, and here is George Cole 8 series in. It was a fairly safe bet to feature casino scenes and the notion of dodgy playing cards. It had worked before, and they made sure to give it a solid treatment here. It was also refreshing that Hetty and Ray Daly don't end up in the obligatory leg-over position. She was too sophisticated for such a predictable scene. The character of Lorna, a gambling addict, is well played and quite ahead of its time. Credit to the fabulous writing of Tony Jordan and Leanne Orkin for that one. Hetty Baines is incredibly sexy in everything I have seen her in, and The Odds Couple is no exception. One of the better Ray Daly episodes too.
So what now? Could be a long wait.
What did you have in mind?
On the other hand, he could lose and be back any minute.
Two.
And you are a married woman.
Also true.
In which case, how about a game of cards?
You're on.
I've got some somewhere.
Now, don't worry. I bought my own.
What?
Think that'll be enough.
What are they all for?
Arthur bought them. He hates to think I might get bored. Well, come and help me sort a pack out and I'll challenge you a game of poker.
All right.
What do you want, red or blue?
Red. Right. I should warn you, I am very good. Lewis taught me.
You're kidding.
Oh, I wish I was. That's how this whole thing started. And then he fell out with his partner at Lucky Jack's and now he doesn't like me to go in there anymore.
Why not use a different casino?
I think Carlo's an old mate. Besides, he gives me unlimited credit.
No, and Lewis will pick up the tab, eh?
I do win sometimes, you know.
She's a terrific bird.
Number 8, Georgina Hale. My favourite Minder prostitute, and there is a line I didn't expect to say when I first started this podcast. Debbie Arnold comes a very close second, but there is something so unique about Georgina Hale, the part-time model, that just appeals. She has a very strange voice, so not everyone's cup of tea, but she is funny, delightful, and rather sexy too. Of course, her role in The Beer Hunter, an outstanding episode from Series 2, is to play the dry humour role alongside the marvellous Brian Glover. Willis Hall, the Yorkshire-based writer, was no doubt drawing upon some inspiration with his character of Yorkie, Arthur's Oppo. Great casting top to bottom, but in this role, Georgina really plays up her part, and she is used quite a bit as she goes from overnight prosy to revealing a few details about herself and then helping Yorkie to find out exactly where his hotel is. The scenes of Arthur and Terry trying to track him down are brilliant, of course, but in terms of birds, you can't argue with the scantily clad Georgina Hale. Although just to show you I'm not remotely sexist, and include my female audience too, if you've not seen it for a while, don't forget, girls, that you can also see Brian Glover in his red underpants.
Oh, well, get sent to them. must have legs like an anorexic whippet. Have you got any big ones? The old woman's coming down this afternoon and meeting at bloody coach station.
Oh, big deal. Your missus. Erwin's sister's popping round here at 3. I'm supposed to go and look at some kitchen fitments with her. Brenda's as broad-minded as the next, but I mean, look at it from her side, hmm? Fella sitting here in his red undies with your brother's wife watching racing on the telly. I'm telling you, dear, you're on your little bike before she comes.
Like this?
Think of something.
Think of what?
You should have thought of that last night when you flung them out of the bedroom window. Didn't you bring a spare pair down with you?
Of course I did. I've got a lovely check sports jacket and a pair of slacks. But they're hanging up in my hotel wardrobe, aren't they?
Simple. Simple, though. All you do is you telephone your hotel, you ask to speak to the manager, and you tell him to go to your room, and you tell him to put the spare pair in a cab. Simple. Do you know what? You're bloody brainless. I don't know. Fellas, where would you be without us ladies? What's it called? What letter does it begin with? Oi, are you deaf as well as daft? Your hotel, what's the name of it?
I don't know.
You what?
I've forgotten. I don't remember what it's called. An up on line from the army days brought me in.
Oh, sodding hell.
She's terrific, bird.
Number 7. You will have heard I often ask people about Honor Blackman if they have worked with her at any point. I do adore her, but I had to place her in this listing at the right position in terms of the show, otherwise she would have been number 1. Honor, of course, appeared in the feature-length Minder on the Orient Express in 1985. It's important to remember that at this time she was 60 years old and looked incredible. She was one of those very fortunate people who aged extremely well, and she lived until the age of 94. In Minder, she played the elegant Helen Spender, and also showed her talent for dry comedy, playing off George Cole beautifully. She once played George Cole's wife in the horror film Fright, which also starred Dennis Waterman, as we have mentioned a few times before. Honor Blackman was a very prolific actress, but perhaps was least active during the 80s, which might be one reason she only appeared in the One Minder episode. She could definitely have been in more. We have previously covered the Orient Express film quite a bit, but Honor Blackman was definitely a big part of the episode and had a few nice one-liners. Very dry and very droll, as Arthur may say. For instance, when Arthur says, "I am, of course, married to my wife," Helen Spender says, "How convenient." Some great lines from Andrew Payne as usual, and it is great to know that even if it is just for one episode, we will always have the pleasure of Honor Blackman as part of Minder.
Oh, good, just the man. Whiskey and water for me. And the same again for these good people.
Well, that's very nice.
I'm all right.
Have you, Missy?
You sure?
Positive.
I was hoping you and Terry could join me for dinner.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Well, that's a shame, because I was about to ask you the same thing.
Well, that's very nice of you.
Popular, aren't we, Arthur?
What do you do with yourself when you're back in Bloody?
This and that.
I thought so.
I adore Venice at this time of the year.
Of course you do.
Perceptive sort of bloke, aren't you?
Oh, look at that. That's typical French, isn't it?
God, the English abroad. Yeah, always causing trouble.
Now, don't forget dinner.
She's terrific, Bird.
Number 6. Sarah Berger really is a bit tasty, isn't she? That is today, never mind in the youthful days of her appearance in Goodbye Sailor, arguably the best ever Minder episode. It was unfortunate to learn in my interview with Sarah that certain things during her time filming the episode made it an unpleasant experience for her, but I actually think it suits the episode. There was an edge to her which may not have been there otherwise. Then again, she does play sultry and alluring rather well in many productions I have seen her in. Check out The Green Man, for instance. In Goodbye Sailor, she plays the mysterious Penny, who has only just recently started to work alongside Commander Hawksley. she seems both nonplussed and intrigued by the appearance of Terry and Arnie, and proceeds to flirt with both whilst managing to hold out completely from sharing anything beneath her clothing, which, if Commander Hawksley had his way, would be covered in oilskins. I thought that was a very funny joke, but Sarah didn't remember it. Think about it. Here she was dressed in 80s casual style, but the commander wanted to see her in skin-tight oilskins, and who can blame him? I think it is one of the best appearances in Minder, as Sarah gives total flirtatious allure, but keeps her dignity throughout, and in the end becomes a platonic ally to Terry, Arnie and Arthur as they attempt to recover the smuggled tobacco. She also has a good laugh with them over the bags which get stuck in the sand. Truly a perfect Minder bird throughout a perfect episode. What more can you want?
She's terrific, Bird.
She is.
Arthur, Teddy Hawksley here. What?
What are you doing?
Pen's telling me about signalling with flags and that till.
Since when did you need flags, eh?
No, I mean, Slate, and this is really clever, this is.
For instance, this brooch I'm wearing. That's a well-known signal.
Yeah?
Well, tell us about it, Pen.
It means permission to lay alongside.
Oh. Yes, it's called the Double Eagle. It's moored just below my office, Arthur. But there's no need for you to come down.
Oh, I think there is. In fact, I insist. Yes, I insist, my dear. Yes, I'll drop everything immediately and come, my dear. Yes, bye-bye, beloved.
Trouble at all, Arthur?
Nothing that requires the Metropolitan Police. Thank you.
You straightened Arthur out, did you? Well, I don't know. He said he was going to come down, and then he went rather peculiar.
Yeah, well, the old boy gets a bit confused now and again.
Oh. Oughtn't you to slip your oilskins on? It's going to get a bit chilly later on.
No, I'm fine, Commander Hawksley. Honestly.
You sure?
So what's happening, Colonel?
Well, I'm going to go back to the office for an hour or so. The wind's back, thank goodness, and the shipping forecast is reasonable. So we should be on for this evening.
What's the shipping forecast got to do with it?
What? Oh, absolutely nothing. Sorry. Must be rather boring for you landlubbers, but the weather rather rules our lives. Isn't that so, Penny?
Oh, absolutely. Mm.
I'll leave you in Penny's capable hands. If you're feeling peckish, well, there's lots of food on board.
Yeah, but there's no hurry.
None at all, eh, Penny?
Number 5. I must admit, I don't personally fancy Rula Lenska, but she certainly is attractive. There is something about her. Perhaps it's the aristocratic influence, the air of nobility, arrogance and confidence. Maybe it's the red hair. Could be the height, although she is only 5'9", you might be surprised to hear. Technically, she was in 4 Minder episodes, but as one of those was essentially a 15-minute advert for national savings bonds, we'll just cover the main 3. As I said, she's not my type and she is certainly, how do I put this, a little rough. She's also a complete and utter cow, according to several accounts. I tried to interview her for this show, but was not surprised that I didn't hear back. As mentioned in my coverage of the Dennis Waterman autobiography reminder, Rula was certainly responsible for causing him a lot of stress at a very pivotal stage in his life. It was several years after Minder that they finally divorced, so there was no real effect on that, but she is, so some say, not a nice woman. But she nevertheless contributed nicely to the Minder archive, and given she was in 3 episodes, it's only right to include her. By the way, she had been married to fellow actor Brian Deacon before marrying Dennis, and you may be interested to know his brother Eric Deacon appeared in Series 1 of Minder. He is now an author.
She's terrific, Bird.
Excuse me. You must be Terry.
And you must be the pool's girl.
You're not that lucky. Can I have a little word with you?
Of course you... Hold on, that ain't your husband, is it?
Look inside the car. That's my father, Ron Grundy.
Well, he's got a very lovely daughter.
And she's got a lot of expensive habits.
Like what?
I had a very deprived childhood. Like my father was away for a long time.
So was mine, but he didn't buy me nice motors like that.
I'm a hard-working girl.
Oh.
I think perhaps you and I ought to have a little cocktail, Terry.
Why?
Proposition.
Sexual, I hope.
You never know.
Number 4. In the space of just under a year, then 47-year-old Anne Lynn appeared in 2 episodes of Minder as the Naughty Rose Mellers. Both episodes were written by Paul Wheeler and Leon Griffiths and stand as two of the best in the Minder catalogue. I have a preference for Series 1's Bury My Half at Waltham Green, but love both episodes. The first is a very clever tale of buried money, which Albert Stubbs wants back when he is out of prison. The problem is, con man George Wilson pretends he is Stubbs, and all manner of clever farce ensues, with the battle axe and Lynn making sure she gets her bit, from Terry as well as her husband, who we never see. A case of him indoors. In Diamonds Are a Girl's Worst Enemy, great title by the way, which came late in Series 2, Rosie's more of a centrepiece to the episode, running a florist's while simultaneously looking for diamonds, which were hidden in a Mercedes, which Terry has to mind. Of course, Tony Selby, Rosie's minder, is a big part of both episodes, but without Rose Mellors, the episodes would lack that gorgeous, cunning bird that is required. Anne Lynn played it perfectly both times, and again was perfect for further minder episodes, but two was all we would have. These really are the types of episodes for which no programme could ever rival Minder. They are funny, mysterious, and dare we say immensely sexy. Yep, I would be completely taken advantage of by Rose Mellors, just like Terry. Perfect casting.
She's terrific, bird.
Would you go through to the conservatory, please, gentlemen? Oh, sailors. What are you trying to do, ruin me?
There you are.
Here I am what?
You what?
Who's your girlfriend?
Oh, leave off, Rose. It stabs, isn't it?
Jack.
Look, I can explain everything. In other words, this ain't Stubbs.
Not in other words, Jack. Those are the words.
Who's this then?
Martin Bullman, for all I care.
Now, beating me up won't help.
You want money on it.
Wait a minute, put him down a sec. Right, love. What's your real name?
George Wilson.
Oh. All right then, George. Calm down. Now then, why don't you tell me why you've been going around calling yourself Albert Stubbs?
Huh? Number 3. A much nicer young lady is Gloria from the Ray Daly years. Fooled you, didn't I? I bet you didn't expect me to mention that era so high, but this list would not be complete without Emma Cunningham. Something of the Girl Next Door, she appeared in just 7 episodes, but it feels like more when you get into watching the Ray years. She just seems to be there quite often, a nice recurring character, and the only bird to play her character for as many as 7 episodes. I have to say there are several ladies who appeared in those Ray years who would qualify as top birds. The trouble is there are so many from the Terry years that we are spoilt for choice. Gloria makes it because she is a nice character, pretty without ever trying too hard, and does make her presence felt in those 2 series. She didn't come back for the last series, and I am not sure why. It may have been because she was offered the part in Medics, which was more long-term and couldn't do both. I expect so. Unfortunately, Emma has not really acted very much beyond this, and almost retired from acting on TV at least in 1997, with just 1 appearance that followed in 2004. She is still quite young now, and I have no idea what she is doing despite trying to find her. We'll have to be content with her 7 episodes where, like a couple of ladies before her, she tried to tame the minder and offered a nice refuge away from some of the more nefarious ladies he would become mixed up with.
She's terrific, bird.
Dependent man or woman?
That's a bloke.
Right. Well, I'll go then.
You? Why?
Well, because if I go, I stand more chance of getting what I want. And tragically, that's the way the world works. Don't ask me why. Excuse me.
What pump is it?
No, it's no pump. I was wondering if you could help me. I'm in a bit of trouble.
What's the problem?
Well, I was just driving past here yesterday and this man in a van pulled out right into my path. And, well, I've just been to the hospital and it's whiplash, it's nothing. But the man said that he'd leave his name and address with my car for the insurance. And when I got the name, it just doesn't exist. And the car's a total write-off. Oh, it's just a chance, but you don't know who he might have been.
Number two. Refuge from the world, both for the minder and for his on-and-off girlfriend, friend, sleeping partner, favourite stripper. No one was better cast in this role throughout Minder than Diana Malin, who played the stripper Debbie. I'm sure that many of you would place her at number one. I suppose it depends which way you look at it. From the physical perspective, and as a great down-to-earth bird, I can see why she'd be your top choice. And let's face it, Debbie brings a real joy to her episodes. You would think Emma Cunningham had been in more than 7 episodes, and you would certainly think Diana Malin appeared in more than 5. They are truly great episodes, though. From her very first appearance in Series 1's Come In T64, Your Time Is Ticking Away, to her last in Poetic Justice In It 3 years later, Diana Malin made the part of Debbie hers, and we all felt as if we knew her, or wanted to. There is a full episode of this podcast on Diana, and where she might be now, so go back and look for that, episode 23. We've also covered Looking for Mickey, probably my favourite Diana episode, in depth in episode 27. There's not much more to say about Diana. You all know her charms and how she really made those 5 Minder episodes. It goes without saying that she should have been in more, but for various reasons her acting career never really got going. She was perhaps one of the few Minder characters who you feel was based on a real person, and you could actually believe there is a real Debbie out there somewhere. This becomes further likely when you consider Tony Hall wrote 4 of the 5 Debbie episodes, and they also had a relationship. As we have seen many times, Tony would base his episodes on real-life events, so the chances are he knew a Debbie. But we can't find Diana Malin, so what chance Debbie Marshall?
She's terrific, Bird. Listen, do you want a drink or something?
I'd rather have a cup of tea, Till. What if we went down there together to the police station and tell them what has happened?
Do you think he'd believe that any more than he'd believe that other story of yours, eh? I tell you, this Soames geezer makes Chisholm look like a welfare worker.
Well, let's tell him then, Chisholm.
No, I don't think that'd be awfully good timing. You see, he's working on the case that Arthur's trying.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Then what are we going to do?
We're going to have a cup of tea, aren't we? Yeah, you never know. I might get down there. Yeah. Yeah, I'll try. Yeah, tell him, mate. What?
Terry, it's hopeless.
Give it a chance. A few more faces I can get hold of it.
They had me going through the mugshots down at the station. I couldn't see anyone who even looked like them. Maybe they're not known villains.
Not all known villains have form, do they? Now, listen, I want you to stay here while I do a bit of snooping about.
Well, do I have to? I was hoping to go back to the flat, get a change of clothes at least.
Now, what happens if those 2 loons turn up again? Anyway, you ain't got a car, have you?
Well, I thought maybe you could take me.
Oh, yeah,
running. Number 1. If Diana Malin is number 2, then who on earth could possibly eclipse her amazing talents? You probably guessed. It is none other than Jenny Nevinson. Always was my favourite bird in Minder, and still is today. And to think she actually appeared on this podcast, and then sent me a nice signed memento. She is wonderful even now, but honestly I would still have put her first, even without that. I prefer the more understated elegance and beauty of women without too much makeup or overdoing it. It has to be said, Minder was very good for this, and no one in the top 10, apart from maybe Debbie at certain times, was known for overdoing it. Jenny, who played Terry's on-off girlfriend Penny, was always trying to see Terry go a little straight and turn him into a decent functioning member of ordinary society. Of course, we all know he really is, but for Penny and her kind, a real job with real prospects was what he really needed. Sometimes he even agreed, but not enough. Otherwise, Jenny could have been in every episode. She has at least in 4, and I'm sure you would agree it seems like more. An episode which I know some of you are as fond of as me is Not a Bad Lad, Dad, and this was the most poignant in terms of showing the type of relationship Terry and Penny could have had. Their interaction and fondness for the young boy is very touching and very well written, once more by Tony Hall. Jenny first appeared in Monday Night Fever in Series 1, and then a further 3 times for the second series. It helps that two of these were absolute classics. A lot of bull and a pat on the back, and you lose some, you win some. The latter was Jenny's chance to get out of the stewardess uniform, though not the only time, and get dolled up and glamorous, which was very subtle, more understated beauty. Penny is good with the dry humour, and her heart's in the right place, although she does have a tendency to pester Terry, which is probably why he was never written to develop their relationship further, especially with Debbie around. It would never have worked, and so Jenny's character had limited scope, but it is true to say she was never properly replaced, and so along with Debbie, she stands as the best female character in Minder, utterly memorable in every way. She still remembers her time in Minder with fondness, which you can hear in our two-part interview from early on in the show, and unlike some actors and actresses, she's happy to associate with it. We will always love Penny the Air Hostess.
She's terrific, Bird.
So, what are you going to do?
Don't know. Not much I can do, is it?
Well, you can hardly keep him with you, now, can you?
No, I suppose not.
Seems like a nice kid.
Yeah, he's all right, Zams.
What if his mother doesn't ring again or come round?
Oh, I don't know.
You have to contact the authorities.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah, I know.
Think he really is your son?
Well, it's possible, isn't it?
I don't think I'd better stay tonight.
Why not?
Well...
No, he's all right. He'd be in the living room asleep on the sofa.
No, I don't think I'd better.
Oh, come on, Pen.
No. What about the noise?
Oh, don't make any noise.
No, but I do.
True.
It is time for the honourable mentions list. It was very difficult to put all the Birds of Minder into a top 10, and tempting to go more for a top 20, but that would be greedy. So instead, let's just cover some of those very lovely ladies who brought a lot to the show and should be mentioned. In no particular order, we start with Lisa Goddard, she of the National Pelmet episode. Lisa was a huge part of 80s and 90s television, and I have to say I'm a big fan of hers, although she can be quite aloof. That's just why she was perfectly cast as Jocelyn Maxwell Saunders in the first episode from Series 2. The Jolly Hockey Sticks horse rider is much more desired by Terry than the annoying loud northern lass played by Jane Carr. The posh totty is just a little out of his range, though, and he has to be content instead with a woman he would never sleep with and a farting horse. Still, Lisa is nice on the eyes and always has that unachievable air about her. Keeka Markham was a very underrated part in terms of being a terrific bird. Not probably the most standout looks-wise, and quite an unusual bird for Terry to be interested in, but there was something about the character of Dolly. Perhaps it was because if you are remotely interested in betting, the idea of a female who knows all about racing is rather appealing. Or perhaps it's a plain but intriguing demeanour. For reasons out of his control, Terry just can't seem to meet up with Dolly, and is eventually told to piss off, a first for a bird we like in the show. 1982's Why Pay Tax is of course a fabulous episode, and given the subject matter, it would not have been a stretch to have further tales between Dolly and Terry, very much in the role of Jan Francis, who if she weren't such an entitled stuck-up bint would have made this list. If Mickey the Fish wants a bit on the side, it's likely to be a bit tasty and a little bit naughty. Posh Totty Sheila Ruskin, aka Susie Blake, is very naughty. She is Mickey's mistress, and quite happy to give him pleasure and take his money and gifts, one of which is nicked during the amazing break-in by Eddie Venables, an old mate of Terry's, played by Chris Matthews. Series 4's High Drains Pilferer is a very enjoyable episode directed by Robert Young, who I recently interviewed for this show. Sheila's part is not for all that long, but she does stand out in more ways than one. Candy Davis was an absolute stunner. I'm not one for the typical tall blonde, unlike a lot of men. You can probably tell that from my list. But if you're going to have a page 3 glamour look, then make it like Candy Davis. Watch her in Are You Being Served, and you'll be very easily converted. Miss Nude of America 1982 would help too, though I've not seen that. For Minder, she merely played a stripper, albeit a very nice one, who ends up in bed with Terry. If you want to be reminded of her ample charms, then take a look at Series 3. Rembrandt doesn't live here anymore. Later, Candy would reinvent herself as a rather vicious story writer, which was a surprise, as was the fact that she sadly passed away at the age of 59. Both Rembrandt Doesn't Live Here Anymore and Hydrain's Pilferer, incidentally, were written by Dave Humphreys, who wrote three Minder episodes altogether and also passed away very young, just 57. Rest in peace, Candy Davis and Dave Humphreys. As I mentioned when speaking with Debbie Arnold on an earlier show, which red-blooded male did not fancy Debbie in the 80s, when she was a regular fixture on television? Even today she looks great, and she still has that spark that has always been there, one of the old school for sure. And she was, of course, in two Minder episodes, one of which where she would upstage Jan Francis, perhaps not in acting terms, but certainly visually, and we are, of course, talking Tasty Birds, so here's to Debbie, the nicest prostitute in Minder, or joint nicest. When I was thinking about this list, I thought not just about those who absolutely had to be on the list and who were the very nicest in Minder, but also those ladies who could and should have been in the show. So here are just a few thoughts and suggestions on that subject. It is arguable that Erin Dawes could have made an appearance. It is a slightly strange phenomenon, though funny and part of Minder folklore, that you never see Arthur's wife. But she is noticeable by her absence, and that got me thinking about who could have played her, if we were to ever see her. I nominate someone who I would also like to have seen in the programme anyway, Joan Sims. Not only would she have been the right age, but she could go from glamorous and appealing to total harridan as required. She did, of course, appear with Dennis Waterman several years later in On the Up, but I really would have liked to have seen her with a semi-regular comedic role in Minder. The gorgeous actress Margaret Nolan was starting to slow down career-wise by the 80s, but as her appearances in the series Crown Court showed, she was ageing very well and would have made a very nice addition to Minder. I knew Margaret, and we once had a curry together. I can tell you she completely filled the screen with her presence, because I was surprised at just how small she was. She could have played smart or dumb blonde in equal measure, and gone for a small or large part as required. She was definitely underused in 80s TV and could have been in much more. Rest in peace, Margaret. Fenella Fielding was a little old to have been of interest to Terry, but Arthur might have been a different story. Or she could simply have played an old friend of his, someone who had perhaps married into wealth or similar. And maybe she could have still tried it on with Terry. You never know. Glynis Barber was, and is, one of the most beautiful women in the television world, and was in her ascendancy come the 80s, playing Makepeace in Dempsey and Makepeace, and marrying her on-screen partner as well. Lucky chap. She was in a few less than impressive films in that decade, but also made the odd other TV appearance, and always kept her attention. So she would have been one of the first women I'd have expected, could have been considered for a role as a lovely bird to play alongside Dennis. Being a little younger than him would have been perfect too. Lastly, I nominate Sherry Lungi, a gorgeous and versatile actress who I was lucky enough to interview for one of my books. She was very nice indeed, just as I'd always hoped. She has been acting for several decades and didn't overdo things in the 80s, just a short series or a film appearance per year. I'm guessing she would have been available at some point and could have played a wealthy, naughty lady or just a naughty lady. She's also a little younger than Dennis Waterman, so would have been fresh as a daisy on screen, perhaps as an unrequited love interest, someone who would always be out of Terry's league. I'd go so far as to say she would have played a far better wife for Anthony Valentine, who deserved a little glamour for his professional gambler lifestyle. So what do you think? Who could or should have been in Minder, and who was your favourite bird who did appear in the show? Just like to return also to an email from Lee Bottomley, which I mentioned on a previous show. Lee had also said to me, "If it's of interest to you, I'd like to let you know about a short video I made about 3 years ago, which is on YouTube, and currently has around 95,000 views. Basically, it's the black and white end credits of the show. I found and visited the locations, courtesy of the excellent info on Minder.org, and captured the exact photo angle and did then and now with a little bit of my creative skills. It's certainly something I would believe would be of interest to you and fellow Minder fans. It is indeed. If you wish to see Lee's great video, then click onto the Minder website and look at the info for this episode. Thanks for sharing, Lee, and also for your compliments on the trivia episode, as well as your appreciation for great 70s rock. Like many of you, I love seeing all the old locations revisited, but do wish they would look more like the original sometimes. Of course, it is highly unlikely given it's been 40 years or more in some cases, but it is always preferable to see it look somewhat like the original. Yes, it is possible to get sentimental over a bent lamppost. Now there's me saying a non-PC word again. Can you say bent anymore? Anyway, at least the Royal Albert Hall won't change. Back to words you can't say. It was great to have feedback from you about the Whose Wife Is It Anyway episode. I was quite surprised no one corrected me about anything, or that I didn't hear from someone who knew Baudouin Mills. Alas, no. But that means, hopefully, my information should be correct. What many of you have complimented is the approach to the episode. Given the subject matter, the apparently touchy subject of a gay couple, it was refreshing to hear me say things directly and without tiptoeing around the fact that back in the 80s, it was perfectly acceptable to say the word iron or pufter. Well, that is indeed the truth, and this is a retro show. I don't see the point of covering episodes which were written and made mostly in the 80s without a strong reverence to the era. I've never grown out of it in many ways, to be honest with you. I like to call a spade, and think many of the ways and customs we had then were much better as a society. You knew all your neighbours, your door could be left open, etc, etc. Listener Dave sent me something I want to share with you as well. Hi Paul, just a quick note to say how much I enjoyed the most recent podcast, he did send this a while ago, on the Whose Wife Is It Anyway episode, also one of my favourites too. Some really nice little connections and trivia. Hopefully there's some more episode rundowns coming up, including my all-time favourite Goodbye Sailor. Well, I do hope so, Dave. He also says, as a follow-up to the Whose Wife Is It Anyway episode, I thought The Attached might give you a chuckle, given the title. Some well-meaning soul at West Ham obviously doesn't know their rhyming slang. Or perhaps they do, and it was a funny subversion to the usual right-on BBC agenda. Keep up the great work, all the best, Dave. I recommend you look at the podcast website to get the best sense of the picture, but to describe it, we have a flag or poster for West Ham United showing their support for LGB What's It, and it states Pride of Irons. Got to love it. As many of you may know, West Ham actually has two nicknames. One is the most familiar, the Hammers, and the other is the Irons. Now, for the sake of political correctness, and in solidarity with all the brothers who support West Ham United, I would just like to say that the name comes from a time when men were men and Thames Ironworks FC were a group of blokes who were hard-working blokes and not Irons per se. Up the Irons? Think of Iron Maiden, whose leader Steve Harris is a fan of the Irons. West Ham, that is. And he likes it up the Irons. It does get confusing trying to be politically correct, but it's fun too when you don't give a... See you next time, and thanks for listening.